Right song.
One of the new Post Malone songs off his new album. And this is the final hour of the week here on First Up. Aaron Kurulnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Post Malone super fan and friend of the show, James Duthie, joins us now. Hi, James.
I didn't miss time my cereal this morning, and I'm disappointed because I still have half the bowl left. And now I'm going to talk to you guys for 15 minutes, and it's going to be all, you know, mushy.
Okay, yeah, so I'm glad you brought up this cereal, James, because this is something I wanted to get into with AK, but now that you're on the line and brought it up, did you guys hear Colin Morikawa the other day when he was asked about the LIV tour and there was rumors about him going, and he said, okay, now that I've made this statement of LB not going, I'm going to get back to pouring cereal in my milk. Basically saying that this guy pours a bowl of milk and then puts his cereal in it.
Yeah, he's a cereal killer.
Isn't he? That's a serious cereal killer.
It's a weird move. He's Dexter. He is Dexter. He should go to the LIV tour. Who needs him?
Wait a second, though. When he said that, was that a metaphor for something?
No, I don't think so.
I think this
was a conversation that Morikawa has kind of engaged in before. How that's
That's warped. That's backwards. Although, I will say this. There is logic to it. And Morikawa seems like a very smart guy. I mean, I've never really thought of this philosophy before, but we've all been in a position where we pour too much milk and we drown the cereal, which is not a good situation. Then you end up having to pour a little milk down the sink, which is wasteful. We've all been in the situation.
Or you refill the bowl with
milk.
Yeah,
that's the move. Pour the milk in them.
Who dumps the milk? What's wrong with you, James?
You drink the milk or you pour more cereal. You're right.
You know that I am such an elite athlete and my body is so finely tuned that I have to proportion everything that I eat perfectly.
So was that elite athleticism on display in your 54-hole marathon?
Yeah, how are you feeling
this week? Like, what was your bot when you woke up the next day? Like, how did you feel?
Well, I want to say, first of all, you guys know how much I love the game of golf. I love it the same way you do. Right now, I am tired of golf because I did that on Tuesday and then did the member guest at Coppinwood yesterday, which was another 27. And this is the first time in a long time where I do not want to golf for like 3 or 4 days. Yeah, we were taking cart, so my body was fine, but it's a lot of golf. Like 54 holes. It was an awesome event, by the way, at TPC. If any of the golfers in your audience haven't been out to TPC, they have three amazing courses. And because it was the longest day of the year, they decide you play every course. So
the future home of Golf Canada.
That's right. And it was, so we got there at 7 a.m. Hit like balls for, I was determined not to warm up, which was probably a mistake, because I thought I'd swing enough. But, you know, I hit about 5 balls, and then we went and teed off at, I don't know, maybe 8, I guess, 8 a.m. And we walked off. There was no stopping, so it was 54 consecutive holes. So as soon as you finished, you know, one, you were on to the next. And we finished at 9:15. We putted out on 18. So, like, literally 13 hours of golf. And it was fantastic. But
no breaks, no snacks. No
A lot of they had food everywhere. So, you know, you'd stop and, you know, eat a chicken skewer or something like that. Or some, they had oysters on one hole. They had all sorts of stuff.
Cereal. Oysters on holes? Wow.
And there were beverages
hole.
As well, but I was, I drove that day, so I did not indulge
in the
beverages.
You can't have beverages on a 54 hole.
Well, I don't know. That was my thought, is that how were these guys, now there was a lineup of Ubers, you know, at the end of the day finishing. So at least guys were smart. But it's a lot. And the only thing, you know, Cabot, last year we went to Cabot with my son and the McKenzie boys, Bob and Sean, and we played, you know, I always play 36 at Cabot, which is walking. And then we played the little shorter course at night, which is another 12. So that's 48. But 54, it was.
Walked all 54?
But the Cabot, the last 12 at Cabot are like 100, and that's a little short night course.
It's
only like 110, 115 yard holes. But anyway, it was super fun. Like, the day couldn't have been better, even though, you know, it was 41. I felt like 41 with the humidity or whatever. But so it was Hydrate City. I played Hora Awful.
Like the entire day, or
and then,
or
well, no, the miracle was that I only got it together like the last 18, which made no sense because everybody else was falling apart.
Yeah.
And I started to get a second wind for some reason.
Wow.
And I made a few birdies on the last 18, but the first 36 or so were just absolute hot garbage, and that carried over into Coppinwood yesterday, where oh man, yeah.
Well, I need to play with Brian. Brian Hayes won the member guest at Coppinwood. I mean, this guy's one of the great golfers in our country.
He
won under at the Canadian
Open. I believe
the
radio show got him in the way of the member guest.
Yeah. Oh,
but
that's too bad.
But his reputation is growing over
Sterling.
At Coppinwood.
Do you guys not hear him on Overdrive? Like, he's saying he has to take a break from golf because his game has fallen apart.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that one under at St. George's has basically ruined his round of golf. He can't play good anymore right now.
You
it's
guys,
crazy.
If we had our little match in, like, over the span of this week, we would have been shaking hands on 11, and I would have been walking to the car with my head down.
So what are you talking about? You have Jeff McDonald on your team.
So what are you doing next Wednesday, James?
But, you know, man, we're just so lucky to have, like, so many great golf courses around. That's what I actually was thinking this week around the GTA. It's just amazing how much freaking great golf there is out here. And we're lucky. That was my only conclusion.
Well,
and you know,
James,
the other thing is, I've been using these rubber boot podcast balls. Nick at TaylorMade is always kind to send me some TaylorMades with the rubber boots podcast logo. But the problem with having your own ball with a distinguished logo like that, and it's a giant rubber boots podcast logo on the ball, is that now I have, like, people tweeting at me every day of finding
ball.
My balls.
Oh,
and, like, I mean, and, like, lots of them.
Those could be Lester's rubber boots balls, or maybe Kristoff's. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. They'd have to golf in order to be there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think I'm taking most of my share of the blame for those. But it's marketing, right? That's what you do.
Yeah,
the positive few here and there, it's marketing.
100%. James Duthie is our guest from the Rubber Boots podcast, the Platinum League concluding. Congratulations
to
Bob Weeks.
I want
to
get one more bite of cereal in here.
Okay, go ahead. I will stretch it out. Yes, of course, the Platinum League concluding with Bob Weeks winning the Stealth Driver. A big congratulations to Bob.
Get it? Is he allowed to win that?
No, he's going to give it to
me. Free drivers.
Bob Weeks is fully sponsored from TaylorMade. I think he's good. But let's move on to the Stanley Cup Final tonight. It's Game 5, JD. And so a lot of people looking at tonight and being like, all right, Tampa's done. They're just going to pack it in. Colorado's at home. The Cup will be in the building. But then you kind of have this thing in the back of your mind, like, it's Tampa. They've been through so much. Are we really going to bet against them? How are you feeling about Tampa's chances to at least extend it to Game 6 tonight?
I'm with you. I those two thoughts both sneak into my mind. I think you'd think that call. I felt the other night like this was Tampa's last stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe, you know, deep down, they might have thought that as well in the moment. I'm sure.
Well,
that
it sounded like Cooper felt like that post game.
Yeah, you felt that way, didn't you? And just because, look, everybody's injured in the playoffs, but like Tampa seems to have a higher proportion of guys that are really wounded than Colorado does at this point in time. Obviously, Kadri's got some, although he looked pretty darn good in overtime. But if you can go by the number of guys in the last three games who have limped off the ice, and when you watch them limp off the ice, you go, oh, this guy's probably done.
Yeah.
And then they straggle their way together and get some med shot into them and come back. But that is, let's see, Bogosian and Paul and Chernak.
Sorelli.
And Sorelli and
playing
Kucherov.
Without point.
Yeah, it's like they are really hurting. And I think that if it was maybe somebody else who'd snuck out of the West, and maybe it would be a different story. But with this Colorado team, I just think logically, I'm not, you know, Tampa could win tonight. They could put on this heroic effort. But I think winning three in a row just seems illogical right now.
Right.
And that maybe deep down they know it.
And especially, too, in Colorado. And Colorado hasn't lost many games in this playoffs. They've only lost three in total. So to think about climbing that avalanche
Well, the other thing was the overtime, you know, what the call notwithstanding, And I, you know, it was really interesting to watch Cooper do a kind of a 180 in the way he handled it from that night to the day after. They were all over them in overtime. And, yeah, sure, Tampa, I suppose, could have found a way to win that game. I mean, I guess if they had a power play, they would have had a really good chance. But Colorado, yeah, like from, you know, the second half of the third period through overtime was by far the better team. So,
and if you look at this series, they've been by far the better team, too. I mean, game one and game two, they dominated game two. They found a way to win game one. Game three, it's almost like the home ice and the matchups favored Tampa, and they, you know, found a recipe to have some success against Colorado. But,
well, the first period of game four was as tilted as, you know, any of the three periods in game two where Colorado dominated.
Absolutely.
That was the, you know, that was the one period where you said, oh man, has Tampa really figured this thing out somehow and turned it around? But as the game wore on, it started to go the other way. And so, you know, I like I said, I almost felt like they felt like there were, that was their, you know, their last real gasp. But again, you're right, Aaron, it's silly to sort of count them out. That's why I don't wager on hockey in situations like this, because I just think that would be foolhardy. But, and you never know how a team that has never been there is going to react with the cup in the building. I know I would be, you know, I'm a mental fool. So if the Stanley Cup was sitting there, I think that would distract me. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that. I think they'll be fine. I think there'll be so much energy. I think they've waited so long, guys. I bet you Nathan MacKinnon has his best game tonight.
He might have 20 shots on goal tonight, yeah. MacKinnon. Yeah. I can see that.
But, you know, there's still, as you know, Kemper really did well the other night and rebounded, but that is still the one X factor, is that, you know, you could get a couple of softies and Vasilevskiy could, and if Tampa is able to steal this one tonight, then all of a sudden it does really flip back to Colorado. You get another home game in Tampa, and if it goes to a game seven, well, then everybody's probably going to have their money on tap at that standpoint. So that's what you have to play those mental games that way if you're the Lightning. Say, just steal this one, and everything switches around.
Well, James, we'll let you go back to eating your cereal because we got to head out here on a break. But just before we do, what's your go-to cereal?
I can't even remember the brand. It's some, like, you know,
organic
flowery
something.
Granola thing that I got into that's kind of low sugar. I should give them a plug, and I can't even remember what it's called. You buy it in, like, bags, you know. It doesn't even come in a box.
That's weak.
It comes in, like, a bag where you get about three portions for $12, you know, one of those healthy things.
Three portions? Like, three bowls for $12?
No, I just mean, you know, it's not, you're not getting a box. Like, if I was to take the bags, you'd probably have to about three bags to fill a real box of, you know, Shreddies or whatever. Shreddies was my go-to, by the way, for my entire life. I would devour Shreddies at a rate that was not human. I would buy the giant boxes of Shreddies and go through one of them in 2 days. Like, I would have five bowls of cereal. It was, I just, all I ate was, and then all I would eat, I couldn't cook. I lived on my own, so all I ate was pasta. So my two meals I had every day would, like, I'd have five bowls of cereal in the morning, pasta for lunch, pasta for dinner. And I didn't even make a tomato sauce. I just cooked, like, spaghetti and put Parmesan cheese on it.
Jeez, that's actually not bad. That's a pretty good option.
It's not bad, but when I met Brooksy, my now wife, who, you know, moved in with me, she was like, "What? How are you existing? What is this life you lead? We're not in Russian prison."
No kidding.
Anyway, the human body's a miracle thing, because I basically survive with very little protein.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, maybe the key to 54 holes is just Shreddies.
Processed cereal and plain pasta.
Right. All right, JD, we'll let you get back to we'll let you get back to it. Thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend. Maybe we'll see you on the course next week.
All right, guys.
Gotta set it up.
James Duthie from TSN and the Abrupt.
Wow, right, he gets rid of us quick on the landline.
He has to go back to crushing the cereal. I don't blame JD.
But again, you're right, Aaron. It's
there you go. Was that you wanted to replay that, Chrissy? Thank you very much. You know, that might be my ringtone. Just replay. You're right, Aaron. It's James Duthie saying, "You're right. You're right. You're right."
But again, you're right, Aaron. It's
who am I talking to again? Aaron. All right, Connor McGahee, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, in less than 15 minutes. Looking forward to connecting with him, because this guy, man, he's been one of my favorite. Every morning after an Avs game, I'm like, all right, what did Connor McGehee say yesterday on the broadcast? What type of calls did he have? And he has been exceptional throughout the entire postseason, throughout the entire season. And we're looking forward to catching up with him in 15 minutes. That's coming up next. Well, not next, but very shortly on First Up.
But again, you're right, Aaron. It's-